State Senator Charles Fortner joins us. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Great. You're in the newspaper for all the wrong reasons last week for breaking a glass tabletop.
Well, you know, I guess I need to learn how to modulate how hard I hit a glass-covered table. But really, you know, the bills that were being taken up that day were very important bills. I think people in general will make sure that fetal tissue is not utilized for profit and trading like a commodity. And so the issue is very important, and I think it needs to be addressed.
Certainly not making light of it. It just ended up being at least on the front page. Texas Tribune did, I don't know, four or five different stories on the sex trafficking victims in Texas. And I don't know that anything like that has been brought to the forefront in my memory, but it is all part of a system of making sure that every Texan is taken care of. Did you happen to see that information? Have you got any thoughts on that?
I have seen some of those articles. I haven't really read them in depth, but you know, I do think they tie into this greater issue of making sure that we have a foster system and a CPS system that is optimally running and doing the job of protecting those that are vulnerable in our state. You know, obviously children that are in our foster care system can be exploited, and it's incumbent upon the state to fix our foster care system, CPS system this session.
State Senator Charles Fortner joining us. Now, you are the author of Senate Bill 11, which speaks to this. And like any system this large, it can be run probably more efficiently than it has been. But basically, so people will understand the framework of what SB 11 means.
Right. Well, it improves investigations, improves medical care for those that are entering our CPS system, and also improves our foster care capacity and the involvement of not-for-profits, including our religiously based organizations, on a community level. And I'm terming this or calling this community-based foster care. I think that's a much better way of handling foster care relative to what we do now, which is from a statewide perspective. So it's a multi-component reform bill that I'm very proud that I believe is going to be voted out of committee on Wednesday and will be on the Senate floor. It is obviously a priority of an emergency item of the governor, and I look forward to working with my House colleagues as well, Cindy Burkett on HB4, and also I'll be carrying HB6 when it comes over from the House. So I am knee-deep in foster care reform and CPS reform, and consider it my highest obligation priority this session.
Certainly one of the things that some people are concerned about is privatization, that there would be a privatization factor in there. Concerns over what kind of control might be there. If the privatization failed, you'd then have to rebuild a structure that's being dismantled. And then also, what kind of review is there of those people who might be privatized to do this portion of the CPS
right. Well,
process?
You know, what we have right now is not working. And I think case management functions need to be closer to that child. We can't have a case management at the central office here in Austin that's right for every child in the state. And having case management closer to the child through the what they call the single source continuum of contractors, which are, again, the not-for-profits or governmental entities that are regionally based, is, I think, a kind of revolutionary reform. It was thought about and considered 10 years ago, but not implemented. And I think that was wrong. And we've seen the continuation of a foster care system that is suboptimal in the state. So I'm going to continue to push for greater control at the local level, greater community input, greater community buy-in. I think that's the right way to reform foster care in our state.
Finally, before we leave this, Texas Department of Child and Family Services says they need $1 billion. Now, I know State Representative Zerwa says that's a really, really big number. For the Senate thought, so what do you have to say to that?
Well, it's a big number, and obviously I'm one of the chief budget writers and in charge of the Article 2, which includes the Department of Family and Protective Services, and we need to look at all their exceptional items and their budget in totality and make sure it's an appropriate budget. I think we certainly need to put more resources and appropriations toward DFPS, but we also need better stewardship of that and better outcomes. You know, these performance metrics that we put in place with this additional money that we implemented or appropriated this during the interim, they need to be met, and we need to hold our agency and our employees accountable for the jobs that we tasked them to do.
State Senator Charles Werner joining us from Austin. Another item that is on the minds of a lot of Texans, especially in the population corridor that you represent, and that's high-speed rail. What can you tell me where we are there?
Well, you know, I think that Texas and Texans are being sold a bill of goods. There's not a high, well, there's two. There's one in Japan and one in France that I think are cash flowing and actually generate a profit, but the vast, vast majority are subsidized. So long term, I worry about the state of Texas having to step in to subsidize and continue any high speed rail that is built in Texas. And I obviously worry about the landowners in Senate District 5 that are going to have their property disrupted and not potentially get a fair deal. So I filed a number of bills, and they're actually being filed today, that require a bond, for instance, for any property that's taken to, if the high-speed rail were to cease operation, that it be restored back to its natural state. And that high-speed rail, another bill is high-speed rail could only utilize, if they utilize or take land for, they could only utilize it for that one specific purpose. And the third bill, that no state money would be utilized for the construction or cost of planning or operation of high-speed rail. You know, if TCR is going to say they don't want state money, this is a private enterprise, and they need to put their money where their mouth is and give assurances to the legislature that we're not going to be left holding the bag long term.
So to specify in that first bill that you mentioned, for every dollar that they would need for land, they would have to hold another dollar in bond if they were to fail so that those landowners could be reimbursed?
Well,
is that what we're saying?
Yeah,
there?
The bond must be sufficient to restore the property back to its original conditions if the service were to cease. You know, there was a recent study out that said that Texas could cost the taxpayers $21.5 billion and $537 million annual operating deficit. Those are big numbers, and I don't want the taxpayers of Texas to be left, again, holding the bag for that amount of money. If a private enterprise comes in, builds a rail line, and then says we need support now because this is a vital transportation entity for the state, and then you have a group of lawmakers both in Dallas and Houston that want to subsidize it because it provides some benefit to those areas, but really in totality to the state and to the taxpayers doesn't provide any benefit.
Well, proponents of high speed rail say that the Trump administration is willing, that's one of the type projects they want. Does that add any comfort?
The Trump administration says a lot of things. I think there's the TCR is on a list of many infrastructure projects, and they're trying to promote that as Trump supporting it. But that's really, I think, a far-fetched reach.
Okay. What else is going to happen on the floor of the Senate before we talk again next week?
Well, we passed out State Affairs, the Article 5 Convention of States, and that was, again, one of the Governor Abbott's priority items. That'll be on the floor this session or this week. We're going to pass out of the Health and Human Services Committee the CPS reform bill, and I hope that's on the floor next week. And after those two bills get passed, we will have completed, on the Senate side at least, all four emergency items of the governor, including sanctuary cities and ethics reform. So we're moving forward on the Senate side, and we're continuing to write the budget. I'm working on the work group, in charge of the work group, actually the chairman of the work group, that is writing the budget for the health portion of the budget, which is over a third of our entire budget.
Finally, I guess the convention of states, on paper, that sounds great. Common sense, it really does sound like something that needs to be done. In reality, does that have any hope of happening?
Well, I think it's going to pass the Senate and the House and be signed by the governor, but, you're going to need 34 states to call a convention of states. So I think it is far-fetched. It is something that is, though, constitutionally allowed and should be pursued. And I think there are certain limitations regarding term limits, that I think are important, and a balanced budget amendment that I think are important for our nation to address long-term. And we don't have Congress doing it, then I think there is a role for the state to at least voice our opinion through calling for a constitutional convention.
State Senator Charles Werner joins us on Tuesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. Thank you for the time this morning, Senator.
You bet. You have a nice day, sir.
All right, thanks. Bye.